Well, it's great to see you here. Welcome to WRBC, to our carol service. Only a week to go till Christmas. I'm sure the children are excited. Are you? Yeah? Yeah? Don't sound that excited, do they? Are you excited? You are, yeah. Since it sounds a bit mixed. We're really pleased to have you here today. And I'd like to give a special welcome to the newest member of our family, Isabel Grace. It's her first time. It's her first time, isn't it? I saw her come in somewhere. Little Isabel Grace up there. First time today, isn't it? So welcome. Welcome to Isabel. And welcome to all of you, if it's your first, and especially if it's your first time. My name's Simon. I'm the minister here. We're going to have a really good time this evening. And it will kind of flow on. So I'm just going to open in prayer and then we'll have a reading and move into the first carol. So let's come to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do praise you that you are the God of peace and you have given us peace through Jesus Christ, your Son, who came on that first Christmas. Help us to realise who he is and why he came and to know your love. And know your peace in our lives. Be present with us now, we ask. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
From Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniformed blood-stained by war will all be burnt. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. And he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity.
Great light for those who live in the light. please take your seats.
Loving God, as we remember Mary and Joseph's journey, we pray for those forced to travel long distances to flee from conflict. We bring to you families from Syria who have made their home in this country. Help us to welcome them as you have welcomed us. Lord Jesus Christ, child in a manger, thank you for your gifts of peace, hope, love, and joy. We pray for the world into which you were born. We lift to you those living in poverty, those who are oppressed, those forced to flee their homes, recognizing their stories in the tale of your nativity. Amen.
God of love, we pray for people who are not looking forward for Christmas because they are cold or hungry or on their own. Help all who give them the friendship, food and shelter. We bring you those who find Christmas difficult because they have lost loved ones. Please put your arm of comfort around them. Amen. In Nazareth, a city in the rural province of Galilee, the heavenly messenger Gabriel was sent by God to meet a virgin named Mary, who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. The angel entered her home and said,
"Greetings. You're favored, and the Lord is with you."
The heavenly messenger's words baffled Mary.
"What do you mean? What kind of greeting is this?"
The angel said,
"Mary, don't be afraid. You've found favor with God. Listen, you'll become pregnant. You will have a son, and you must name him Jesus. He will become the greatest of men. He will be known as the Son of the highest God. God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob for all time. His kingdom will never end."
"I am faithful with God. I'm going to have a baby. I've never slept with a man. How can this be possible?"
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will hover over you. I know it sounds impossible, and it won't be easy, but listen, you know your relative Elizabeth has not been able to bear children, and she's now too old to be a mother, but yet she has become pregnant as God willed it. In 3 months, she will have a son. So you see, the impossible is possible with God."
"Yes, I see it now. Here I am, the Lord's humble servant. Let it be to me, just as you say."
And the heavenly messenger was gone.
Just
the stars in the bright sky look down where he lay. Little Lord Jesus asleep on the the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, stay by my cradle. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
Thank you. night in the fields near Bethlehem, some shepherds were guarding their sheep, taking turns watching over them.
83, 84, 85.
Finish the head count.
How can I count them all properly if they won't stand still?
Call yourself professional. Get organised.
Shut up or I'll break your other arm. Is that 86 or 87? They all look the same to me.
Ample experience of shepherding, you said on your application.
Will you sheep stop milling about? I don't know what's the matter with them tonight. They're so restless.
Let me do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Even you. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord.
Excuse me, your bright shininess. Are you sure you've got the right address? It's just, we're shepherds. He's not even a very good shepherd. It wouldn't be the first time we've been delivered somebody else's message by mistake.
Just hang on a minute, let me check. To the shepherds, watching their flock by night, first hill on the east of Bethlehem. That's you, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, there you go, then. God has chosen you to be among the first to see the newborn king. Go for yourself. He's your saviour, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
So, is that usual around here? What are we going to do?
Come on, let's go to Bethlehem and see for ourselves this amazing thing the Lord has let us in on.
They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby lying on a bed of hay. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they told his parents what the angel had said about him. Everyone listened and was amazed. But Mary kept thinking about all this and treasured it in her heart. As the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. For everything they had seen and heard was just as the angels had said.
Thank you. from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, the visit of the wise men. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, when wise men came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen this star in the east and have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are no longer least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, my Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, learning from them the exact time when the star first appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I can go and worship him too." When they heard the king, they departed, and the star which they saw in the east led them to Bethlehem. It went before them until it stopped over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great excitement, and when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented gifts to him of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. When it was time to leave, God warned them in a dream not to return to Herod, so they returned to their own country by another route.
As we toil and pray. from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save all people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to his son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Well, how'd you follow all of that? I didn't know he was such a talented youth worker. Needn't have interviewed him, did we? Well, now tell me, boys and girls, how long is it till Christmas? A week, yeah? Have you anyone worked it down in hours and minutes? 8 working days? Sorry, what's that? 8 more sleeps? Any hours and minutes? Now, this is the bad bit. How many more days school have you got? 5. That's a long time, isn't it? Well, I don't want to give you too many ideas, but I'm going to show you a video of a little girl. She was actually at nursery school, and she decided she'd had enough. Just take a look. It's Maggie Simpson.
Playing nice little humans. Good, good. Yeah. Hello, Maggie. Poor little dumber.
That's great, isn't it? What film does it remind you of? Any guesses? The Great Escape. I'm sure it'll be probably on this Christmas. But The Great Escape, it makes me think about Christmas because actually, in many ways, it's a time when we escape during the Christmas holidays. We escape from those cold mornings when we can't really get up. And of course, when you get up, the car's always iced up. It takes a long time to get all that ice up. And of course, if you decide to walk, well, it can be a bit treacherous. And then the other thing about these cold mornings is when you travel, people can get very grumpy with you. Well, in a few days' time, we can stop work and we can escape and we can run around the house and just have a really good time being at home. Or we can even go out and party. Maybe just watch TV. It's one of the things that I like to do. It really will be the great escape. And actually, in that last reading, we met someone who wanted to make a great escape. And I don't blame him. This guy's name was Joseph. That's not actually a picture of Joseph. It's someone who looks a bit like him. There weren't cameras around in those days, just in case you didn't know. But on that first Christmas, Joseph was at the centre of everything that was going on. And he was just an ordinary guy, just wanted to live an ordinary life. A carpenter, good trade, was looking forward to getting married to Mary, having a family, spending Saturdays watching footy with his friends, probably supporting Sherwood Forest. It's Nottingham Forest, isn't it? That's the trick, you know. I try this. I try and be relevant. You see, when I was in Asia preaching, and I knew they love football. So I thought, right, I relate to them with football. And I said to them, right, here's a football seaman. There's Wayne Rooney in goal. And they all just looked at me and said, "Mr. Simon, Wayne Rooney does not play in goal." So there we are. But he probably would have been looking forward to watching footy with his friends, settling down, having a family. And then suddenly Mary, the girl he was going to marry, comes and drops a bombshell. Now just put yourself in Joseph's shoes for the moment. She comes along and she says, "Joseph, I want to marry you still, but I've got some news. I'm going to have a baby." And of course he would have been completely shocked because they hadn't slept together, they hadn't been together, and he assumed the worst, that she'd been unfaithful to him, that she'd been with another man. How can this be, he said. She said, well, it's a miracle. God's done something incredible. Now, this would have been an amazing scandal at that time. Now, we know the story well, but I want you just to realize that this would have rocked their world and everyone who lived in that village around them. I mean, it would have made Coronation Street look like Postman Pat. You know, it was that kind of scandal. There would have been none like it before. And you can understand that Joseph just wanted to escape, to get out of it. In fact, Matthew tells us this. He says, while he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke to him in the dream. Joseph, son of David, do not hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring birth to a son. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves because he will save his people from their sins. Something amazing was going on. God was at work in a way that shocked everyone around, Joseph and Mary included. Now, that sums up our theme for our carol service this year, which is hope at the heart of Christmas. And the Bible talks about hope a lot. And when it talks about hope, it's nothing uncertain. But it's rather like saying, I'm looking forward to Christmas. And, you know, when you look forward to Christmas, you're getting ready for it. And, have you done any Christmas shopping yet? You know, you're looking forward to it. You get everything ready. I've done my Christmas shopping. Did it really well. I need one present to get. That's the best thing. I get my wife a present. Takes me a long time to decide it as well and to choose it. But I've done my Christmas shopping. But you get ready and get prepared because you're living in anticipation for something. And there's a hope at the heart of Christmas. And actually, if we stick with Joseph and the message that the angel brought him, we can see two things about this hope. One thing we can see is the miracle of Christmas. The angel, God's heavenly messenger, came to Joseph and said, Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. She would have told him something similar, but he never would have believed it. But this is God speaking to him. A miracle's taking place. God's son is going to be born from Mary. God's son's going to take human form. God's going to become man. Now you might be sitting there saying, well, how can this be? Explain it to me. Do you know, I'll be completely honest, I can't. I couldn't even begin to explain it to you because it's a miracle. And that's what a miracle is. It turns all our expectations upside down and blows our minds. This was the miracle of miracles. And Matthew, who wrote this account, goes on to say this actually fulfills a prophecy, something that was given by God's spokesman many hundreds of years before. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, people often look at what's going on in the world and, oh, there's so many awful things. And we were praying about them earlier and they say, how can there be a God when all these things are going on in the world? Why doesn't God do something about it? You know, the Christmas message shows us that he has and he does. God became man. God was among us. He chose to come into this world at a time of massive upheaval. When the ruler of that part of the world, Caesar Augustus, decided he wanted to find out how many people lived under his rule and sent them all back to their hometown at their own expense, there was utter chaos. You think Brexit's chaotic? You want to see what was going on there? There was chaos like the world has never known before. And because of that, there was this man with his pregnant wife, unable to find somewhere to stay. And they stayed in a barn, in a place of real squalor. And actually, that kind of marked Jesus' life. He was at the margins with people who were excluded and hated by other people. He befriended them. He healed the sick. He spent time with the lowly. He brought good news to the poor. And he said he'd come to bring about a new beginning. In fact, he used to go around saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. And what he meant was, God's going to rule in a new way. God's going to do something new. And this is the beginning of it. See, the Christmas story is the beginning of what lies ahead of us. That's the miracle of Christmas. Then we've got the meaning of Christmas. Now, I've got a picture of Einstein there, but actually, you don't need to be Einstein to work it out. This is what Matthew tells us that the angel said. She, that's Mary, will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saved, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, choosing a baby's name can be quite stressful, can't it? I don't know how long it took you to choose Isabel Grace. Lovely name. If the boy's next, call it Simon James. That's what I'd recommend. Yeah. But in Bible times, if you chose a baby's name, you would choose it very carefully and you put a lot of prayer into it because you want it to mean something through their life. Actually, they didn't have the stress of this because the name was given, Jesus, which literally means God saves. God the rescuer. And the word saves means to rescue from something that someone can't save themselves from. Let me give you an example. When I was a little boy, once I was just going off to sleep in bed, and my mum and dad, they'd come up, and I called out and said, "Mum, go to sleep." We lived in Essex, you know, they talk like that. "Mum, my bed's hot. Well, pull your covers over." And I could kind of smell this funny smell, even funnier than normal, the smell, you know. What was this smell? It kind of smelled like matches or something. Mum, it smells. Well, I'll give you a bath in the morning. Go to sleep. And now I started feeling hot. Mum. And in the end, she gave up. And then suddenly she sort of screamed and went, And my dad rushed in. What had happened was, and this was really bad. I mean, don't tell my mum I've told you that. She'd be very cross. But what they used to do was they used to put the electric blanket on it and unplug it when they came up to bed. And they'd forgotten. Wasn't that a terrible thing to do? We've got someone who works for the fire department here. You should prosecute them. Long time ago, though. Fortunately, we had a balcony. My dad sort of ripped the plug out, and it was still sort of smouldering a bit. And so he threw me out of the bed in a nice kind of fatherly way. And he picked up the bed, and he threw it on the balcony. And apparently, as it hit the air, it burst into flames. That was a narrow escape. I was rescued from something I couldn't save myself from. That's the meaning of that word. And that's what Jesus did right throughout his life. People whose lives were in pieces, he rescued. People who were despised by other people he befriended. People who felt they were a long way from God, he brought back to God. And of course, he ultimately did that in his death and his resurrection. He shall save his people from their sins. And sins is what gets between us and God. It means, you know, we've said to God, "Get out of my life. I want to do it my way." And so we're far from God. The relationship with God is broken. And so Jesus, God's Son, came to this world to be born as a real human being, to live a perfect life, to tell people of the great new beginning, to die and rise again, to bring about that new beginning, to restore our relationship with God and bring about a massive new start. Now, Christmas starts here, within us. There was a famous letter in a newspaper once, and it said, "Sir, what's wrong with the world? I am." Signed, G.K. Chesterton, who was a famous Christian. And he was absolutely right. You know, the problem is in our hearts, within us, because we're far from God. Jesus came to change that and give us that relationship and make us part of that new beginning that's happened through his birth and death and resurrection. How do we get it? We receive it as a gift. That's the ultimate gift. You know, you don't have to work for it. We don't have to jump through lots of hoops. We just need to say, "Yes, Jesus, I receive it. Forgive me. Give me that new life." Now, I had a very nice parcel come in the post yesterday. When I opened it, guess what it was? Now, those who come here regularly know that I do rather like music, and I'm mad on buying vinyls. Way before it was trendy, I should say. One of our young ladies here, she's got a record player, and she really made my day. I said, "Why do you want a record player?" And she said, "Because it's trendy." I thought, "Oh, wow, you've got a trendy minister, you see?" But my friend sent me that, and apparently there's some rare vinyls in it. I think it's After the Fire, Signs Have Changed, which is quite rare. And I really want to open it, and I said, "Oh, thanks ever so much. Can I open it now?" And he said, "Nope, Christmas Day. You've got to wait till Christmas Day. I said to him, I was so chuffed that he gave it to me. And I knew it must have cost him quite a bit to post it. And I said, can I send you the money for the postage? And he was quite offended. He said, of course not. It's a gift. All you need to do is open it and enjoy it. You just need to receive it. That's what God gives us at Christmas. A gift. You know, so many people think they have to work to get into God's good books. You don't. You receive what he's given you through Jesus. Well, I do hope you have a really great Christmas. I hope you get all the presents you want. I hope you enjoy the time with your family. And most of all, I hope it is the great escape to hope, to that future God has given us that begins now when we have that relationship that he gives us through his death and his resurrection. Because hope is at the heart of Christmas.
What does it take to live a life of adventure? The truth is, the first step is always the hardest. That's the one that takes the most courage. But I've learned not to run from that fear and just do it. My Christian faith can be a little up and down, like any relationship. It has struggles and it has doubts. But it's so often brought light to a dark path, warmth to a cold mountain, and strength to a failing body. I remember crawling onto the summit of Everest and clearing the snow from my mask to see the curvature of the earth at the edges. But finding a simple faith that empowers my life, to me, that's been my greatest adventure. Questions about life? Try Alpha.
And you would have received an invitation to our Alpha course. If you'd like to know more, do speak to me or one of the people with the yellow lanyards on there. They'd be delighted to tell you more. You'd be very welcome to join us. Starts in February with a taster evening on the 21st of February. Okay, now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that we've had together this evening. We thank you that you give us that promise of a new relationship through Jesus Christ, that we're part of that new beginning. And we pray that you would be with us as we continue to celebrate the good news of Christmas. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen.
Thank you. praise of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God.